Well, good morning. And last week I issued a challenge to the congregation, and that challenge is for each one to reach one. And so that's going to be the challenge for this year, is for us to try to reach other people for Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage all of you to be involved in that. The next three lessons counting today also are connected directly with the challenge. And today we're going to be taking a look at the parable of the soils. And if you would turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 4, normally a lot of people use Matthew chapter 13, but Mark chapter 4 will be the text we will be looking at for this lesson today. And I do believe that it should be called the parable of the soils. In your translation, you may have a little heading that says parable of the sower. I don't really think that's what the parable's about. I think it's a parable about the soils. It has little bit to say about the sower. It has little bit to say about the seed, other than it's the Word of God. What the parable emphasizes is the soils in which the seed of God is placed. Now, Jesus is often referred to as the master teacher, because he knew how to communicate truth in such a way that it just lives in people's hearts. And I think one of the most memorable and effective methods of Jesus' teaching was certainly his parables. And a parable is simply a comparison. It's a story. And so today, as we think about the parables of Jesus, I want us to focus on the parable of the soils. Now, before we take a look at the parable of the soils, I want us to just take a moment and look at the reason for which Jesus uses parables in his teaching. I think there are four major reasons why. Number one, they illustrate truth. Parables make truth more understandable. It makes truth clearer to us. And so it's a good way to communicate spiritual truth. But secondly, they also conceal truth. Parables was one of the ways that Jesus sifted through the crowds. Jesus wanted to know who was truly interested in what he had to teach and who wasn't. And through his parables, he was able to sift through the crowds. In fact, in Mark, chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, Jesus makes this very clear. And he said to them, "To you it has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, get everything in parables, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear and not understand. Otherwise they might return and be forgiven." And so Jesus makes it clear that one of the reasons that he spoke in parables was to sift through the crowds to see who was truly interested in spiritual truth and who was not. A third reason that Jesus used parables is that they are interesting. Who doesn't like a good story, right? We all like a good story. And the parables, most of them were in story form. Some of them were just brief comparisons. And if you look at the stories, the parables that come in story forms, there are about 30. If you look at all the parables, those that are just comparisons, there are approximately 60. So it just depends on how you look at them. Now, Jesus is in a boat. He's along the Sea of Galilee. There's a large crowd, so he just pushes his way offshore just a little bit, and he begins to teach the people. And this is what Jesus had to say, beginning in verse 3 of Mark chapter 4. "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he was sowing, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did have not much soil, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, 100-fold. And verse 9 says, "And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let them hear." Now, the disciples lived in an agrarian culture. They were familiar with farming. That's what a lot of them did. And so this parable connected real well with those that Jesus was speaking to. Now, in verses 13 and following, Jesus gives an explanation of the parable. Because they came to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, we want to know what this parable means." And I find it interesting that Jesus says, "If you don't understand this parable, how can you understand any parable? This parable is foundational. You need to learn to listen." And so Jesus explains to them the parable, and I want to look at the explanation that Jesus gives before we get into it. So in verse 13, he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?" He says, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones on whom are beside the road, where the word is sown. And when they hear it, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which is sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places. So when they hear the word immediately and receive it with joy, and they have no root, no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And the others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. And these are the ones who have heard the word. But the worries of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on good soil. When they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so as Jesus talks about these parables here today, oh, the last thing was they were memorable. Forgot to go through that one. And just briefly on that, I mean, who doesn't remember the parable of the prodigal son? Who does not recall the parable of the good Samaritan? Who does not recall the parable of the sower? Who remembers what I preached 2 weeks ago? See, you remember those parables, but you don't know what I preached 2 weeks ago. So the parables are memorable. Now, the three items. There are three items that Jesus talks about specifically. First of all, Jesus talks about the sower. And the sower, we know, is the one who proclaims the Word of God. And the sower could be a preacher. The sower could be a Bible teacher. The sower is any person who proclaims the Word of God to others. That's who the sower is. It's any person who shares the message of Christ with other people. Jesus really doesn't say a lot about the sower. And then Jesus talks about the seed. And Jesus makes it clear in verse 14 that seed's the Word of God. Luke 8:11, he says the seed is the Word of God. And the seed is important because it's the seed that gives life. In fact, in James chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth. We have been born again through the living and abiding word of God." The Bible is powerful. The book says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The bottom line is that God's Word, when sown in good ground, changes people's lives and produces life. More important than your personality, more important than your teaching ability, is the power of the Word of God. And that's important for us to remember as we go and sow. The pressure is not on us. We don't have to be thinking about, "Oh man, is my personality right? Or am I a good enough teacher of the Word?" Trust in the power of the Word. It's powerful. You proclaim it and there will be results. How can you do any better than Jonah? I mean, he goes, he preaches, yet in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed and the whole city responds to the message. so it's in the Word. But I think it's interesting that the sower sows everywhere. He sowed on rocky ground, thorny ground, hard ground, good ground. And there's a reason for that. God wants everybody to know the truth. God wants to include everyone in the kingdom of God. It's not up to us to decide where we're going to sow the seed. We're just supposed to scatter it. And wherever it goes, let it go. And it's important that we sow the Word. Now, you have the soils, which is the third thing that the parable talks about. And to me, it's the most important part of the parable. Because the soils here talk about the four different conditions of the human heart. Jesus' own explanation of the parable of the soils, I believe, shows that it represents the hearts and the reactions of people who hear the Word of God or the seed of the kingdom of God. The parable emphasizes the responsibility to hear the message of the kingdom and to hear it well. Now that's important, and I want you to hang on to that. You see, the parable emphasizes the responsibility to listen to God's Word, because Mark begins the parable with listen. That's what he says in verse 3. He starts off with that word. He says, listen, and then he concludes with, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I know very few people in this world that don't have these two things on the side of their head. Now, I know that there's some people that maybe been burned in a fire and lost their ears. There maybe have been some people born and didn't have ears. They're very few. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about ears on the inside. Jesus is talking about ears that are in our heart. And it's important that we listen to Jesus. And this is a problem. Listening is a huge problem. A middle-aged man was distraught over his wife's stubborn refusal to admit that she had a hearing problem. So he went to the family doctor and he said, you know, I don't know how to convince my wife she has a hearing problem. So he said, I'll tell you what you do. When you get home, you just yell at the front door, what's for dinner, honey? And then if she doesn't respond, then, you know, go to the kitchen, say, what's for dinner, honey? If she doesn't hear you, then walk up right behind her and whisper in her ear, what's for dinner, honey? He thought, that's a great idea. That's what I'll do. So he's excited. He's going to be able to prove his wife doesn't hear very well. So he goes home and he opens the front door and said, what's for dinner, honey? Nothing. So he goes a little bit closer. He goes to the kitchen and says, what's for dinner, honey? Nothing. And so he goes all the way up to her ear and whispers behind her and says, what's for dinner, honey? And she turned and looked at him straight in the eyes and said, for the third time, meatloaf. And so the responsibility for bearing fruit rests with the sower. Not with the sower, but with the hearer, rather. It's up to each of us to listen to the Word. Now, we must heed Jesus' warning to listen and to listen well. It's interesting. About a month ago, my wife was trying to explain to Riley what I do. And she was saying that Papaw's job is to preach. His job is to teach the people. And she looked at Teresa and said, well, why aren't they looking at him? And I thought, wow, out of the mouth of babes, you know, kind of humbling. But nonetheless, listening is so vital. And I want to tell you ahead of time, I'm coming in the back door on this one. I'm going to explain a few things, but then I'm going to bring this thing home today. And so first of all, Jesus talks about that there are four different types of soils, as we've already noted. The first type of soil is the roadside ground, which represents a hard heart. Now this is talking about a narrow strip of land in between the different fields. This strip of land, the farmers would walk, or people who were going different places would walk along these paths. Now these paths were not good for cultivation because they had been packed down. They were extremely hard. And Jesus says that this soil represents the hard soil, those who do not understand God's word. Now, he's not saying here that they are unable to understand God's word. What it's saying is that they are unwilling to understand God's word. And that's important, because in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, I'll just go ahead and point that out, that this is exactly what Jesus is saying. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, "For the heart of this people has become dull. He says, with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them." And so the responsibility is on those who refuse to hear God's word. These people simply refuse to be persuaded by the gospel. They refuse to believe in Jesus. They refuse to repent of their sins. They refuse to be baptized. They refuse to take up their cross and follow after Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees are a fine example of this. No matter what they heard, no matter what they saw, their hearts remain completely closed. And since the seed never penetrates the hearts of such people, it's impossible for that seed to bear fruit because it's completely closed. Now, some can hear the gospel year after year after year, yet remain totally and completely unaffected. The message is wasted on such people. Jesus says Satan comes along and he snatches that word that was laid upon their heart. Now, how does Satan do that? Well, he does it sometimes through fear. He does it sometimes through pride. He does it sometimes through doubt. He does it sometimes through stubbornness, procrastination, and iniquity. Hard soil people shut their eyes and shut their ears and refuse to listen. So the question is the soil to blame because it's hard? And the answer is yes. Every time we hear God's word and we don't respond to God's word, it's like stomping on that heart 100 times. That heart gets packed down. That heart gets tremendously hard. And it's impenetrable. And that's what happens to a lot of people. But Jesus says there's also rocky ground, which is shallow ground. You see, this represents ground not that has rocks in it, but rather a thin layer of soil over top of limestone. So it doesn't allow the roots the opportunity to dive down into the earth and survive. And Jesus says this represents a great deal of people. Although they may appear to thrive for a short time, some people, as Jesus said, they receive the word of God quickly. And this is not bad in itself. I think it's a good thing that people respond promptly to the message of the gospel. But as the book of Acts, you know, I think shows that this is how people responded again and again. The problem is illustrated in the parable not because of the speed with which they respond to the message, but the thoughtlessness and the artificiality which sometimes comes with making a decision to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. And this sometimes is a problem when the message is heard. A decision is made without thinking it through. And the implications of, you know, of the commitment that a person has to make. Such faith will not stand. It will not stand the heat of trial. It will not stand the heat of persecutions. And so sowers must guard against presenting Christianity as a religion of convenience. And the hearers must beware lest they accept the message that they are totally and completely unprepared to live. And then Jesus talks about the thorny ground. And that represents a preoccupied heart. I think one of the reasons that many fall away is that God doesn't have their attention. They're focused on other things. They're preoccupied with worry. They're preoccupied with the pursuit of wealth, with the pursuit of pleasure, and many other things over the kingdom of God. And if our minds are too much on this world, it's impossible for us to grow spiritually. Eventually, that faith will altogether die. In fact, their faith will be choked out of them. The cares and the worries of this world, the riches, the pleasures of this life will literally strangle the spiritual life out of them. It's what happened to Demas. Paul said, Demas left me having loved this present world. And how often people leave Christ for the same reason. You see, the distraction may be business, it may be hobbies, it may even be family. Things that are not necessarily evil in and of themselves, but preoccupations which choke the word out of their life leave no room for Christ. And so thorny ground is any ground that just squeezes Jesus out of our lives. But then there's a fourth type of ground, and that's the good ground, the good heart. And we should ask, what makes the soil good here in comparison to the other three? And Jesus said, it's the willingness to hear. It's the willingness to understand the word. The good soil is the reverse of the bad soils. You see, the hearts of these people are not hard. And their commitment is not shallow. And they are not preoccupied with the things of this life. And this is the kind of heart that God wants you and He wants me to present to Him. Now, God can work with a heart that's good. And God can only work in a heart that is good. And such a heart, the Bible says, it bears fruit. It's some 30, some 60, some 100. We don't all bear the same fruit, but a good heart bears fruit. Some of us have more abilities than others. The bottom line is that all good ground bears fruit. Now, the parable forces us to ask, what kind of ground am I? And that's an important question. Because is your heart open to the message, or have you closed your ears to the Word of God? And here's an assumption that I think a lot of us make, and it's a very bad assumption. We assume, because we're here today, that we're the good ground. We assume that's the case. Well, I'm here, I must be good ground. I'm a sower, and I have to be aware of the different types of soil that I encounter. What we fail to realize and recognize is that we are soil. All of us are soil. And the seed has been sown in our heart just as we're supposed to sow it into the heart and lives of other people. And so this is where I come through the back door. What kind of soil are you? The reality is, looking at Jesus' parable, there are some in here today who have hard hearts. There are some in here today, you've heard the word again over and over and over, you refuse to respond to the gospel. You refuse to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You close your eyes, you close your ears, you will not respond. That's the reality. Not only that, there are some folks in here today that are shallow ground. That is, that you have a very shallow commitment to Jesus Christ. It might be that I'll show up for services, but that's the extent of what I'm willing to give. That's the extent of my Christianity. And it's a very, very shallow commitment to Jesus. It's an unwillingness to continue to hear and listen and respond to the message of the gospel and grow and have deep roots. Instead, you settle for a very superficial relationship with God. That's the reality for some people. And then there are some folks in here today who are represented by the rocky ground. or by the thorny ground. That is, you've responded to the Word of God, and yeah, you're doing some things, but you know what? Preoccupation's getting the best of you. Your mind and your heart is on other things, and there's other cares and other worries and other pursuits. And the bottom line is this: the kingdom of God is not number one. It's way down the line on your list. It used to be number one, but now it's kind of fallen back because there's a lot of other things in your life that's more important than the kingdom of God. And so the reality is there are four types of soil in here, but there are some of you in here today who have good hearts. And God is doing amazing things in your lives. And you are growing and you are thriving and you are making a difference in people's lives. You're honoring God by the way that you live. That's the reality of this parable. It's a wrong assumption to assume that because I'm here today that I must be good ground. You see, we're in charge of the ground. We determine what kind of ground we have. And if it's hard ground, we need to plow it up. If it's rocky ground, we need to get the rocks out of it. If it's thorny ground, we better pull the weeds. Because God's Word can only work in hearts that are good. And that's what God wants us to offer to Him, a good heart. And so the question comes back to you again, what kind of heart are you? You see, I can yell, I can whisper, I can write. I can give you every opportunity, but if you don't want to hear, I can't make you hear. If you don't want to listen, I can't make you listen. And believe you me, when I stand here some days, I see people all over the place. I see some asleep. I see some playing with their phone. I know some have Bible app, and you know, that's great. I have no problem with that. I see some people looking in other directions, people drawing on paper and all kinds of things. I can't make you listen. I can give you the opportunity, but there is none so deaf as he who will not hear. And Jesus says there are people that refuse to hear. And so he begins with listen, and he ends with listen. We need to tune our ears to the voice of Jesus and continue to hear Him all our lives, not just at the beginning when we become Christians. Because the bottom line is this, we all know people who have already fallen away. We all know people who were attending here at one time and they're not attending here anymore. And the reality is, I'm looking at some people that are here today and in a few years you won't be here. You just won't be here because either persecution or preoccupation is going to take you somewhere else. And that's the reality. That's why people drift. That's why people quit attending. It's why people quit coming. So you need to work on the ground and keep the ground good. And that's my encouragement to you today. If you've never responded to the message of the gospel, your heart's been hard, I hope today something has been said that will make you plow up that ground, so that it's good ground, so that God's seed can get into that heart and produce life in you, because that's what God wants for you. And so today, if you need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we're going to give you that opportunity while we stand together and sing.